This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Hello and welcome to the last episode of Richard and the Mailman
ever
that will be dealing with Breaking Bad.
Right.
Hey, newsflash. Good news, everybody. Walt beat cancer.
Walt beat the cancer.
And that's all that matters, really. And then because it's almost October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
I thought February was Breast Cancer
Awareness. They're all Breast Cancer Awareness Month, actually.
Well, February is Black History Month.
Oh, yeah. The same thing. I'm Josh Richer, and with me is the mailman, Jeff Machado.
Hello.
And, what we're going to do right now is we're going to break down the series finale of Breaking Bad, Felina, which didn't disappoint. There might have been some naysayers out there who might have been expecting it, but it was possibly one of the more perfect endings to a show of its caliber.
Yeah, when you measure it up against the endings to several major popular shows throughout history, I mean, this is right up there. They really did a really good job.
But first, Jeff, before we get into Breaking Bad, I just want to...
You got something to say, buddy?
Yeah, I know. To address what happened at the end of the last week's podcast, now, I've been known to lose my cool from time to time. You know that. We've got a lot of history. And
you have a really bad temper.
I've got a really bad temper. It's some people are a little bit worse than me. I've seen others, like, get into fistfights, but it's bad. I'm not proud of it, but it happens. I guess... I wasn't ready for the 1-2 punch you hit me with there. First, defending Jim Parsons and his acting prowess. And then also...
Very good actor. He's listening tonight. Hello, Jim. How you doing?
Anyways. And then trying to convince me that Britney Spears has any value whatsoever. Now, I just didn't know how to respond. It's like I usually put up a fight, but the prospect of now having to tackle, like, the very concept of Britney Spears to show you how completely wrong you were, I just couldn't. I lost the fight. I knew it right then and there that there was no point. But I shouldn't have walked off, leaving you defenseless and forced to fend for yourself there. It was incorrigible, really. I'm not proud of it. And, I mean, to listen to it later...
Rule number one, podcasters don't let podcasters crash alone.
No, they don't. And to hear you struggling just to keep it going without me, without my expertise there. I mean,
I thought it was tough to listen to. I thought you did a pretty good job, actually.
I felt ashamed for myself. And, of course, you. And it was not my best moment. But I know I'm a real man when I have to be. Not always. Can't fix my fix any plumbing in my house, and I definitely pay a guy to do my oil change. But I know that there comes a time when a man has to say sorry, so I'm sorry. Now it doesn't make you any less wrong, but I'm sorry anyway. Now I wish we could discuss it a little more, you know, get back into what we were talking about and really like duke it out there, but we just can't, so we gotta move on, I guess. So we got a lot to talk about. So
well, I guess I accept your apology. And to sum up what Josh just said was plumbing plus oil change equals man.
And beards.
Britney Spears and Jim Parsons are awesome. And you know what? I'm happy that you were the bigger man.
I know you were. You usually are happy when I'm the bigger man. Oh, wait. No. That's all wrong. So... I had to get that out of the way. I felt really bad, as I said. So, but there's a lot to talk about here, and I don't think there's really any time for anything beyond what we've already done. We just got to get into Breaking Bad. So, what we're going to do is we're going to, from, you know the drill, there are spoilers ahead, But we will be back to talk about non-Breaking Bad stuff. Actually, we'll probably still be like talking about it in general terms, trying to put it, see where it fits into all the great shows that
the
have
pantheon.
Come before. I was avoiding that word because I say it all the time, but you kind of, that's it. It's one of the...
The canon.
The canon, yes. Where it fits into the canon. The Criterion Collection for television dramas.
You take English in college and they talk about the canon. They talk about Dickens and Shakespeare and all that crap. So there's a television canon.
There is a television canon. I agree. And what we're going to do is we're gonna discuss that and where it fits and where its ending fits in with other endings in the canon. So if you haven't seen Breaking Bad and you still haven't caught on that it's awesome and you haven't been like gotten to the point where you saw all those people talking about it last night and going crazy over it and you still have no reason to watch it or you just haven't done it yet, just move ahead.
Then good stinking luck not going on Facebook or Twitter and not hearing anything about it.
Yeah, that must have been brutal.
Shame on you.
That must have been brutal.
Shame on you for not being caught up right now.
I was seeing some spoilers on Facebook that were kind of like, I felt a little weird about. Like, I'm like, I kind of want to tell that person, what are you doing? But I just felt like I couldn't. It just, I mean, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap like, oh, if you were Team Walt or if you were Team Jesse.
Well, I saw stuff like that too, and it's
first of all, this isn't Twilight. There are no teams.
Well, a little bit. There are people have taken sides when it comes to Breaking Bad.
There's only one story. There's one story with many subplots.
Well, that's my argument, and I know that's your argument too. That it's not about taking sides here. It is about the plot that's there and the story and. You had to let it finish out. Really, what I learned from last night is it was just better to let it finish out without, like, taking any sort of stock of where are we now. Like, everything that we did for the past 8 weeks, stupid.
We just wasted
our life. We just wasted our life. And the lives and, like, an hour plus of other people's lives as well. We're not good people, Jeff. Very bad. Very bad.
That's why we like this show so much.
It's true. We've broke bad. And we're here to discuss it.
We broke bad so long ago that when a show called Breaking Bad came out, we immediately fell in love.
Cha-ching!
Boom.
The first thing I said.
Boom town.
No, I actually got into it after the first season. do we start from the beginning? I'm glad they opened up where they did, which was him still at the bar outside and getting in a car where he's hiding from the police.
Well, it's funny. Can you just, like, bring me through the first 2 minutes of the episode? Because the DVR didn't catch the first
what?
2 minutes somehow.
Okay. So, he's...
When I walked into the episode, he was in the car blowing on his hands. And I'm like, what car is that? Is this a flashback? What am I watching right now? How does the show actually start?
Well, that's where it started for me, too.
Hmm. Where's the car?
Like, well, I think the car was just parked outside the bar. That's
so he just broke into a car?
Because you saw the lights there, right?
No, I'm saying
you saw the flashing lights.
I missed, like, the first 2 minutes.
But he was in the car.
He was in the car, yes.
Okay, you didn't see the flashing lights outside of the car?
Yeah, those were cop cars, right?
Yeah, because that was the bar that he had called in, hey, I'm here to talk about the
world. So he calls the DEA. The DEA comes. Or they send the cops.
He sees Gretchen and Elliot on TV.
On Charlie Rose.
He just
decides to book it. And he just decides to steal a car.
Well, yeah, because he has to duck because the cops are on the way. So he's got to duck out somewhere.
Why is there just a random car parked in the snowy hills of
the snow. I think it might have been the car belonging to the bartender, possibly. Maybe someone got drunk. They had to get dropped off at home. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why the car was there.
It was a cool beginning because this is the infancy of the predating scene from way back.
Yeah.
The Live Free or Die episode where you actually see him in the Volvo.
Yes.
With a Live Free or Die plate with the coat and he looks like crap and he's got the hair and everything.
He looked like that last night.
Yeah. Nice. So it was coming together very nicely. And just
yeah. So he tries to, like, a mess. I guess he was trying to hotwire it, trying to stick the screwdriver into the where you put the key in there. And
yeah, that was funny too. That was a funny scene because Walt is such a genius, and he can do anything. And he just decides to take the steering column off and just look at it.
Yeah,
that classic guy thing. Like,
Oh, well, looks like we got something going on here. I was like, oh, wait, I don't know how to hotwire a car.
Yeah.
That's something you have to be taught to do.
Yeah, you have to know that. You don't just... Although he didn't know how to, you know, burn off his plastic ties that Mike had put him in.
Well, that was a chemistry thing.
Yeah,
I could totally buy that.
Yeah, he figured out what material it was. But here, like, what he got saved, though, by just surrendering almost. Did you notice, like, he essentially surrendered himself to, like, oh...
To God.
To God.
This is such a weird part of the show. Like, he says, just get me home.
God.
He looks up.
It offends some people.
It offends me that after this whole bit with the show and, like, the consequences of free will versus determinism, he just looks up to the roof of the car and says, just get me home. And boom, the keys magically fall down from the visor. So it's divine intervention. God is on Walt's side.
God was on Walt's side. Or he wanted him to...
Walt is just like Jesus.
He wanted to complete his mission prior to kicking it here. What it angered me is because it then legitimized all the crap that the person on Vulture who does all their reviews has been talking about the Jesus imagery and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, we saw the Jesus imagery, but to actually, like, give it life by actually having him now surrender, it's just weird.
Yeah, I thought it was a strange thing for a guy like Walt to say.
That was the thing. But at the same time, I guess it's supposed to be representative. He's a man of science. He's a man of logic. And he finally has just given up that there are some things just beyond his control. It's like he's going to AA.
He could have just as easily gotten angry.
To a higher power.
He could have easily just as gotten angry and, like, smashed things around. The visor comes down. The keys fall into his lap.
Could have. But I think it was supposed to be representative. Because especially the way he carried himself throughout the rest of the episode. Like, specifically, now, like, once he gets the car moving, which I was wondering, how does he know that the cops are gone? Like, how long does he wait before he turns his car on? Does he go back to his little cabin there? Does he get stuff from there? Are the cops going there? Like, there's a lot of questions around there that I was just like, but then again, I was like, fuck it. Who cares? Like...
Yeah, as much as I complain about the writing... You gotta just give them a pass in this.
Yeah.
Just assume that Walt did what he had to do.
Did what he had to do.
To get on the road at an opportune time.
Now, then he takes off and he heads towards New Mexico. And we don't know where he's going. We know that he's going home.
And this is great because last week I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to solve everything in 1 hour.
No.
But right away, they start just... Because remember you and I made some predictions last week?
Yes.
Right away, they just started just quashing.
They just squashed. Which is what they've done this entire season. And that's what...
They just started driving home that, you know what? Walter White is a lot smarter than all of you out there, particularly the two of you with podcasts.
Just the two of us. He is smarter than
the
two of us. No, but I know I was amazed at that. And I noted it in my head that it's like every single time we're like, oh... What are they going to do in that next episode about that thing? They're like, oh, they're going to carry... Oh, it's not going to happen. Or are they going to, like, elongate this whole... Right from the beginning of this last eight, when we were sitting there saying, like, oh, they're going to carry this whole Hank thing on. And then what they do, they immediately...
Yeah.
They immediately got rid of it.
Right away.
That and the episode with Ozymandias. I still can't say it, Jeff.
Ozymandias.
I didn't
mention that.
Beginning of that episode, when the shootout,
yeah,
they just open. It's like, oh, when are we gonna open up the middle of the shootout? Nope, we're opening up. Everybody's dead. No questions. you don't even have to see it.
There's not a lot of wasting of time.
No. So that's what made this so great. And then he just shows up at. He calls. He pretends to be from the New York Times. Gets their address, which whoever was on the end of that line has got to be fired. Like, I want them to be fired. If there was an epilogue to the show, which there wasn't, I wanted it to be.
No, they can't be fired because no one can ever know, but that's...
No, but I just want them to be fired for anything. Because, like, it was just so, like, oh, sure, I'm just going to give up confidential information of millionaires.
Haven't you ever seen Matchstick Men?
You asked me this last time. No, I haven't seen Matchstick Men.
If somebody calls you...
I haven't seen it since you last asked.
I don't remember ever asking about Matchstick
Men. Oh, man, that's one Kevin Bacon, right?
No, it's Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, that's who it was.
And Sam Rockwell. It was Nicolas Cage in a movie in which he didn't suck.
Well, you've said all this.
It's very rare.
And I told you, Jeff, I've never seen that movie. And you continue to tell me about it.
Well.
Which you can do here.
I'm sorry, but it's just going to come up because we're watching a movie about a con man. It's a movie about a con man, and we're watching a show about a con man.
Yes.
So there you go.
But here it isn't. Okay, he cons the address out of him. But after that, what I found to be awesome and also kind of weird.
I'll bet you $10 right now that I'm going to get someone to call you and get your address, pretending to be something that doesn't... Just
that's
seems
hilarious.
Legitimate.
Here's the funny thing. I don't pick up my phone unless the number that's coming up isn't a number and it's a name.
Fine. I'm going to call your dad. Yeah. Not me, personally.
Oh,
but
no,
I'm
you can definitely
trick
my dad. Guys, no, wait. They know my name. They know where I'm from. They're going to trick my dad. Oh, the internet will be my undoing.
I think that you're giving this New York Times guy, like, way too much flack. All right, what is up with the watch? He puts the watch on top of the paper?
Funny that you mention that, because that was talked about on Talking Bad last night, which was a pretty good time. But I guess that was a scene, like, what it was he wasn't wearing a watch in the diner, which they had already shown. So they had him take the watch off just for his continuity purposes.
Because they had filmed the diner scene first?
Yeah. Yep. So that's why that's the only reason why.
Couldn't he have taken
Vince
it off
Gilligan,
the car?
Vince Gilligan made up like a whole, you know, thing. He's like, well, we had an artsy way of doing it too, linking it to like, that's the watch that Jesse gave him and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't need it anymore. And he's like, but really it was a consistency thing.
So
continuity.
It wasn't
purposes.
A watch that like Gretchen and Elliot gave him or anything.
Nope. It was just, it was actually the watch that Jesse gave him.
Jesse gave him a watch?
Don't you remember Jesse gave him a watch? I believe it was for his birthday, his 51st birthday. Which is awesome because it was like, oh, he's getting a watch. Like, he's done a good job, you know, like.
Like a retirement gift.
Yeah, like a retirement gift.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You're
one.
A great drug dealer.
I can't wait to
and my teacher.
I can't wait to rewatch Breaking Bad.
We can start it now. Well, not right now, but at the end of this. Let's just start from the beginning.
Episode one.
I've seen episode one now like 4 times in like a month and a half somehow, so I don't want to watch that again.
Yeah, we should just jump in at episode 4, like after Crazy 8 died.
That's where I last, when I was started getting someone to watch the show, that's where they left off. They got halfway through, but they were like, something was up, like, I can't watch this right now. Like, right now I can't watch this, so they like stopped it halfway through. I'm like, but he's good. I can't tell you what's going to happen. He's going to go meet Tuco and blow up the building. You gotta...
Don't not watch it at this moment.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to be like, how is there not a moment? You just get lost in the freaking show. But, you know, that's how I watch TV.
Which is great because, obviously, you have people who know nothing about chemistry writing a show about a world-class chemist. So they actually had to have people Google, is there any such thing as a chemical compound that you can...
Well, that's what I would do.
It is explosive.
In that situation.
They had to research it and like, oh yeah, there's this thing. It took them like 3 weeks to find out. Like, you can make this and throw it against the wall.
The life of a writer, huh?
It's terrible.
It's terrible. I wouldn't want it. Also because they're...
Underpaid.
Underappreciated. Underappreciated. All of it. Yeah. Well, specifically, the writers that are getting their name on it, they're not. But it's the staff writers that are...
Unless you're Aaron Sorkin or David E. Kelly.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit about you.
But what happened here, after he leaves that... Oh, there was another... Okay, we're going to never get there. There was actually a scene that they cut out where he noticed that the kid inside, like, working in the gas station, like, made him, you know, recognize that it was Walt. And he goes in and he, like, realizes that it was one of his former students.
Oh.
So he starts telling him, you know, he starts being like, you know, like, intimidates him and is like, gives him money, says, you don't want me coming back here, blah, blah, blah. And then
I'll give you an F.
Well, no, then he comes out. He's like, how, I guess he asked him, how was I as a teacher? And Vince Gilligan was telling it because it got cut. It would have been too expensive to make, apparently, which I don't know how finances work. It's like you already had, but I guess they would have had to build the interior and all that. I don't know. I don't make television.
Shut up, Vince Gilligan. Don't tell me about the cost of the show that you just made. Like,
that's my first thought. I was like,
15 million people watch the goddamn show.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that many, but we'll get to that later. So, but I guess, like, the thing that he took away from his class, which is what Walt asks, because, of course, Walt is an egotist. What did you take away from my class? How was I as a teacher? He's like, oh, you were pretty good. He's like, I remember you doing that thing where you sprayed the flame with the chemicals and made it change colors. And he was like, oh, yeah, what'd you learn about that? And he's like, well, that if you spray a flame with certain chemicals, it makes different colors. Which I think would have been a funny line. I think it would have been adding some humor.
Yeah, because
episode,
if I go back,
wasn't a ton of humor.
If I go back and watch that episode, it's like, oh, this is so lame. I would hate this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, chemistry is the study of change and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
But you will. That's what I've been doing too. But then you quickly forget because he makes a lot of bad decisions that lead to a lot of other bad decisions, which is the entire show. So it all works. Anyway. So he leaves the gas station finally, because now he's been there forever, because we've been talking about scenes that don't exist and watches.
There's a 30-minute scene at the gas station.
30-minute scene at the gas station. Goes to Elliot and Gretchen's, and that's when I'm going, are they really going to do this? He's going to fucking kill these people over them, like, not giving him the credit? I'm like, what a dick. What a fucking dick.
Yeah,
like, I knew he was a dick, but this guy is a tool bag at this point.
This is where they really make the viewer feel like a total idiot.
Total idiot. Okay, and the scene was beautiful. The way he's moving.
He's sitting with his legs crossed in the background, like on a
bench.
As
they're just having this complete yuppie conversation about the food that they've gotten in all these different cities because they're just, like, blowing money out their ass, like, every time they fart.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bad line. I said fart.
Fart is a totally normal word.
I know, but it's a stupid word. But
embrace it.
So, they're having this conversation. He's just sitting there in the background, legs crossed, relaxed. As they move, he moves. He closes a door. He closes another door. The whole time you're like, how are they not
here? He's like looking around.
He's looking around at their pictures. And then
he's in their house.
It wasn't until she moves into this giant open area, which they just had too much space in their house. Let's just talk about that, like, for two people.
Yeah.
But that's the environmentalist.
By the way, do you recognize Gretchen? What other popular television show was she on?
I have no idea. As I'm supposed to know. Should I have looked this up?
She was Ross's ex-wife's girlfriend.
Oh! What's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, man. It's like at the tip of my tongue. Shit.
I don't know what her name was. His wife's name was...
I thought she was Susan, wasn't she?
Yes, Susan. Maybe Susan was the girlfriend? So who was his ex-wife?
I don't know. We'll have our intern figure that out.
Yeah, hey, intern, why don't you look up Friends Season 1?
Friends Season 1.
What was that chick's name?
Don't give me that look.
Remember the first season and a half of Friends when Ben was on the show and then Ben just disappeared? He's just never around.
Well, Ross just became a horrible father. That's what happened.
Ross just didn't want anything to do with
Ross
him.
Ross is just like, ugh, this kid.
He just paid her.
This kid is. He is a piece of work. Walt now is just, like, right there, and that's when she sees him. Maybe he's just, like, appears out of nowhere. And, like, she just turns, and there's Walt. They obviously become really flustered over the fact that a known killer and drug dealer is in their midst. And when he starts talking, like, you're like, oh, what is he gonna... Is this it? Like, is he just going to get all Heisenberg on him and start telling them how bad they are and all that they've done
and
how wrong it is?
And he started the company, and he was responsible for Grey Matter.
But no, he flips the switch completely. He's Walter White, like, at this point, like, through and through. Like,
he just doesn't even care.
And his request is, obviously, he wants them to
This is the episode, obviously... You know, it's the best episode. The second best episode. The third to last one was probably the one where it all went down. Was it the Chili Holly, whatever crap?
Yeah.
But just...
This is the
scene that's going to get him the Emmy. Because this, like, sets the table for the whole episode. He's just looking at her like, hi, Gretchen. Hi, Elliot. I'm about to die. And I only have a couple things left to do. And, oh, my God, it's just so good. You honestly think that this man is about to die. He just looks terrible.
He did. He looked terrible, but he felt great. But he puts them in that – he uses what their own charitable donations and their own wanting to just rid themselves of their connection to Walter White, Heisenberg. And he gets – he convinces them that they should take the, what was it, 9 million, 725,000, and he wants them to donate it to Walter Jr. on his 18th birthday in the form of a trust from them, because it would seem like a normal thing, because they did offer to help before with Waltz.
The old switcheroo.
It was great. It was great.
You thought he was going to kill him, and no, he just wanted their help, kind of.
No idea it was coming. I never once thought at all.
But not before a great Crocodile Dundee-inducing line. It's like, Elliot, if you want to go that route, you're going to need a bigger
Oh, that was great, too, because you're like, who the fuck is Elliot? Like, who are you?
Like, how did I lose this girl who was in love with me to this stinking Mary? Elliot is such a Mary. He's such a stupid Nancy boy. I hate, like, ugh. Poor Walter. If only he had just been successful. He never would have had to cook meth or die of cancer.
I wish, but then I don't wish, because it would have been a shitty show right there. Remember that time about the successful guy? That show about the successful guy who got cancer and had the world's best treatment?
Well, that's the problem with a television show. It only exists for what actually happens in it.
Yeah.
If things had gone a different way, then the show wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Nobody would have wrote it.
But yet you still care about the characters like they're real people, which is a very great paradox of fiction, isn't it?
Our intern's telling us that Jessica Hecht, who played Gretchen, played Susan Bunch. That was the name. Carol was his actual.
Carol was the blonde.
Yep.
Who was also in something else.
Susan was the girlfriend. So you guys can sleep easy at night knowing the Breaking Bad Friends connection, which obviously isn't the only connection to must-see TV Thursday nights. But that's for another show. Or a show a long time ago that we didn't ever get to record.
Stay tuned next week for a Richard and the Mailman breakdown must-see TV.
Now, what I found also great about this, they didn't want to do it. They put up a fight, but he basically like threatened them. Then he pulls the whole thing where he's got the two laser sights that come in, and he tells them they're hitmen, they're training on them, they're going to kill you if you don't do this, I'm going to leave, they're going to be still watching you to make sure that you did it. He invokes the name, the legend of Heisenberg, this time, to convince them that there's no crossing him, going back and doing anything other than what he's asking them to do would just
Which is really just a great scene, a great example of dramatic irony.
Yeah.
Because we all know that he's just Walter White now. He's just a dying, sad sack of a man. And he's like, if you are in Prague, if you are in London, these hitmen will be like, come on.
I wish it said in Bruges. That would have been a great... I wish the writers had gotten that in there.
Yeah,
no.
It was just such an obvious, like...
Yeah, well, it was very obvious. We knew that was happening. Although I was kind of wondering, I'm like, well, who's he got doing this for him? You know, but obviously...
Well, he didn't have $11 million.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, he could have paid anyone to do that. But the anyone that he picked were the people that I was afraid we would never see ever again. My dreams.
We did.
Badger and Skinny Pete.
Who came back for one last hurrah.
They did, and they were good. They weren't their usual selves. But I thought they were pretty awesome, especially when Skinny Pete said the whole thing that they did there felt kind of shady morality-wise. All the other stuff, though, I mean, that's just playing the game. But this here, making people think that the hitmen are going to get them?
Let's see, here's another example.
You don't lie to people like that.
Here's another example of a great ellipse on the part of the writers. Like, we don't need to see what's happening, but I kind of wanted to see Walter White getting in touch with Badger and Skinny Pete, saying, hey,
yeah,
it's me, Walter White. I need you guys to do something. And then them like, oh, what is it? Like, this is exactly what I need you to do. I need you to be in this exact place.
Yeah,
laser pointers. It makes sense, man. Like, that would have been funny, but we're just surprised.
What if instead of getting laser pointers?
What if we put on gorilla suits, man?
I'd be afraid of this gorilla. That girl from Connecticut that got her face ripped off? That's some scary
stuff. Like, that's some scary shit, man. Chimps are no joke.
Jeff, everywhere that the writers leave out, these ellipses that you talk about, you're missing out what they are. They're just opportunities for fan fiction that me and you could be writing.
Yeah, we should
Badger and Skinny People also examples. At some point put their penises together. All of these. No doubt.
You and I should take all of these examples of missing scenes and shoot them. Just like Sports Night. When Sports Night ended, the fans got together. They wrote a third season of Sports Night. We should film all the missing
scenes. We should just fill in all the blanks?
Yes.
All right. I'm on it. But we got to add that to the list. We've got other things we've got to do. Enslaving New Hampshire. That one's going to take a while. And then also there was the barrel thing, which I think that we're not going to be able to do until we enslave New Hampshire. Because I don't understand how we can get the money other than through like...
Yeah, but New Hampshireans, they're weak.
No, they're spread out, though. And they know the mountains. We don't.
They don't go into the mountains. It's too cold up there.
Lies. The other thing that I found out that I thought was great, because you start to get that feeling, okay, when he does that, and then when he starts moving on to the other scenes that happen after this, is that he's tying up loose ends, just like Vince Gilligan is. Like, that's what Walt is doing right now. He's trying to tie up everything that he wanted to get to, whether it be vengeance or justice in this case. A lot of us would call his vengeance justice. Or getting the money to Skylar, or getting the money to his kids, which was his whole goal. I found that to be very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he basically... this road trip that takes him to his house... Breaking in, taking the rice in, going to Denny's, getting the giant assault weapon.
What do you think about those scenes, too? Like, seeing them again. I personally felt that the original times that we saw any of those scenes with the gun at Denny's, getting the rice in his house, it was really exciting because we were still... We obviously didn't know what was going to happen. But now watching it, as he's actually going through the motions this time, I found it to be really sad. Like, depressing. Like, I just felt, like, a little bit despairing. Like, wow, this isn't fun now. Like, look at him moving through this. Like, he's going through the motions here, doing what he needs to do to get whatever he has in his head planned that he needs to do to tie up the loose ends. But he doesn't look happy.
Well, I don't think he was happy when he was at Denny's incognito, making his age out of bacon by himself, even though his wife had been doing it for the past 25 years. I think it was always sad. It's been sad from the very get-go of season 5. I just think it was exciting because we didn't know what was going to happen. And as things started to fall into place, then you're thinking, oh, okay, now this makes more sense. But yeah, like, as far as...
Well, it was always sad, you're right, but
I don't think he was ever happy. I don't think there was ever any...
You're right. His happiness wasn't there.
He was doomed. But us as the
viewers are now forced to view it through a different lens than we originally had, and...
Maybe we couldn't have
predicted... I didn't feel good myself.
Maybe we couldn't have predicted the phone call to Skylar or the phone call to Walter Jr. at the beginning. Yeah. You know, maybe we thought, oh, maybe he... Maybe they're in witness protection. He's trying to get back to them. But it was still kind of sad. I mean, what kind of guy breaks into his own house that has been vandalized and fenced off to get poison? That's not a good situation.
That is not a good life at any stage in life, no matter what happened or where you are or where you...
That's bad news.
Yeah, that's... But that's a lot of what the show was, at least by the ending. But we'll get there. Now, I felt bad for poor Carol because Marie couldn't even remember her name and is on the phone. Now, that was great. I think that when Marie's on the phone with Skylar, it's like this whole thing like, he's back in town, I hear. Like, I'm here. It's like his legacy is just...
This was Marie's only scene of the show.
Yeah.
And it was a really... That was a sad scene because Marie is just kind of cracked up. Like, Hank's dead, but she still loves Skylar, and she hears Walt's in town through some gossip vine.
And when she called her,
remember who Marie is. Marie is somebody that when shit goes bad, she like invents a new personality and starts stealing stuff.
Yeah,
and regifting it.
So you start to wonder what she's been doing here.
Yeah,
yeah. She's got a weird
haircut. It looks like maybe she's gained some weight.
I didn't see that.
I think Betsy Brandt. I think they did some camera tricks because she was standing in one position. She looked really bad.
Well, she had the protection outside of her house, too.
She's like, Skylar, did you hear that Walter was in town? I heard from Becky, your neighbor there. Becky, what's her name? Carol? Becky?
Becky, Carol, whatever her name is. He went up to her and he just said hi.
And you're just thinking, I would almost rather see Marie in a Lazy Boy with a glass of wine crying. I feel like that would be more dignified.
Well, people have to move on. Standing. People have to move on.
But she hasn't moved on. She's just like obsessed with. But
they go through the phases of mourning. Plus, they have no idea where they've never found Hank's bodies at this point. So it's like there's still this whole what did
another he loose end. Another loose end.
Another loose end that Walt ties up in the very scene because. Even though they were on, the camera was on
great
Skylar.
Direction in this episode.
Great direction. Vince Gilligan directed and
there was
wrote
a scene where they showed the mechanism rotating and then they pan out and it's like, was it Jesse cooking the meth?
Yeah.
And then the scene where Skylar's sitting at her like project house apartment.
Just smoking.
Her bungalow, like smoking, talking to Marie.
Smoking cigarette after cigarette.
And they have the column there in the middle of the kitchen.
Yeah.
She hangs up and they pan just a little, so, and there's Walt in the corner. Oh my God,
it's great. That was perfect to me. That was up there with like one of the ones where it's like when they look down the hallway, like when they were in the towards the end. I forgot what episode it was.
Who directed this episode?
It was Vince Gilligan. I said,
nice.
Yeah, and he wrote it. So he really, from what Anna Gunn was saying on Talking Bad about having Vince directing it, is he pays a lot of attention to detail as a writer. So having him direct it too, it's like he's even more laser sharp with like how things have to be done and like the specifics. But this scene was very important because Walter then gets his absolution in a way from the only person that he really wanted absolution from, for Skylar. He sits down, talks to her, explains what's going on about the. He explained the money, right?
Yeah.
He explained the money.
No, he didn't because he said he had run out of money.
That's right.
So
he gave that what he does.
It's going to be Walter Jr.'s money, and then it's going to be up to him whether or not he lets the family in on it, aka Skylar and Holly.
So the loose end here is that he gives her the lottery ticket that's got all the coordinates for where.
Right. So A, they're going to find Hank, and B, she's going to be able to make a deal tonight.
Yes. Gonna say that he visited
federal feds on her back anymore.
He was very specific the way he planned it all out. You know, like you're gonna call them right after I leave.
But this is a very big truth will set you free scene. He's just like, you know, it's been God knows how many months in the mountains by himself, and it's all going to shit. And he's just like, all right, well, I just wanted to say goodbye because it's all gonna be over after tonight, one way or another. And, here's something that you can give to the government to get yourself out of this trouble. And also all that crap about I have cancer and I was just doing this with my family. It was crock of shit and I really liked being Heisenberg.
Yeah, he admitted what it was all about, that it was actually just all about him, really. And she put him on it. She said, you know, if you say that one more time that you did this all, and that's when he admitted it, but... That I think that was the last. That was like the next moment where you're like, "Oh, yep, I want him to succeed in whatever he's doing right here." Like he's just he became, and I guess that's what like knowing that you're gonna die really does to you.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just stayed in the cabin, and died there.
But he felt that
he knew that Skylar was in trouble.
Yeah,
he knew that Walter Jr. had nothing to look forward to. He knew that Hank and Steve Gomez were going to just rot in the desert without anybody ever knowing where they were.
Yep.
He knew that Uncle Jack was going to have a life of happiness and joy rolling around with hookers and God knows what else with Todd. And Lydia was going to be the... So it's kind of like they took Walter from being one of the worst villains... In television history, just two episodes ago, to being like, now I understand what I've done wrong. I want to die, but before I do, I'm gonna set some shit right.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of key. And we're gonna take a timeout right here just to thank a couple of friends that are really supported us, not just us, Richard and the Madman, but also PlaceToBeNation.com. First, Boneheads. You've heard us talk about them. Just rave about the food and also how they can bring men to their knees and reduce them to the tears of little girls. But the place is really great. I even just went there again this weekend and had a burger there, which is the first time I've actually strayed away from anything but the wings. And yeah, the burger was legit too. So if you're in New England, you got to check it out. It's in West Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm not going to tell you the address. You're going to have to Google that. It's not 1998. You're a big boy and girl, I hope. And our other friends at Championship Melt, at Champ Melt on Twitter. It's a food truck. They do grilled cheeses. And really great people. A lot of different types of melted sandwiches, actually. Some of the grilled cheeses I've gotten there, they got the peanut butter, bananas, and bacon one. That was really kind of wild. And also a lot of stuff with pickles, sriracha, a lot of specialty type of ingredients as well. Great guys. Lots of support from them. So why don't you check them out? And I guess we'll get back to this. I thought that one of the key things there was that, you know, when he started, because what set her asking questions about what, you know, what do you mean, is he said after tonight. So she's like, what do you mean by tonight? Because what he was alluding to is him stealthily sidling up again to right after the Elliot scene, sidling up to Lydia and Todd as they were discussing business in the coffee shop. That she apparently, oh, I wrote that down. Like, as soon as we're in the coffee shop, I was like, why does she keep going to the same place? Like, this doesn't make any sense as far as being a criminal. Like, you don't want to, like, be like, oh, that girl comes here every week. But then he sidles up to them as they're having awkward conversation about her blouse, which was great. I think it was great that, like, they didn't let them talk too long. They just let them kind of get a little out, and then, like, just to hear, like, the Todd awkward flirting thing. And then he jumped in and started, like, telling.
I almost wish what happened didn't happen, because I think Todd, if he put a little more work in, he might have could have banged her.
I'm convinced he might have.
Just because of the power thing.
I don't think she had a choice.
I really like your shirt. My blouse?
My blouse?
Yeah, your blouse.
It's very, your blouse. It's blue.
It's very blue.
It's a good blue.
It's like a different kind of blue.
Which is funny, because they make the sky blue meth. Get it? The colors matter. The colors matter.
Walter White, Jesse Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman, Walter
Elliot Schwartz.
White. Elliot, what?
Schwartz means black.
Oh, Elliot Black. Yeah. Now that I know that, I'm going to totally drop that on my friend's name, Schwartz.
Gilligan means orange.
What? Really?
No.
Oh, you got me. You got me that time. Now, so where are we here? Well,
coffee what? Shop.
Yeah, the coffee shop. They basically were like, oh, we're going to kill Walt, which he knew was going to happen. He takes off, sets up a meet to meet Jack's uncle, or to meet Jack, Todd's uncle, later. Todd tried to talk him out of it, but he said that, you know, I got to meet with him. That's when he went to, then he ended up going to see Skylar. Now, one thing that I found funny about when he was leaving there, leaving with Skylar, is that nobody was watching the back again. They showed the two agents that are, like, watching the house, like, thinking that Heisenberg might return to see his wife. Nobody, again, was watching any back way that he could have been getting in and out.
Well, again, it's not that there wasn't anyone watching the back. It's that you have to understand that Walt got into the house however he did it. You just kind of have to, like, accept it.
Yeah, I know. But it's still one of those things where it's like, we have to go with all this other stuff to shit.
Maybe he went in through the roof. Maybe he went in through the basement.
Maybe he came. Maybe he's really Pennywise from It, and he came in through the drain in the tub.
Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they didn't.
That'd be the ultimate villain. That
he's the drain.
He's actually like Pennywise. I would love that. But we also see, you know, for the like.
Then why don't you just fucking die already?
We're almost there. We're almost there, Walter. And then we see him. In his final scene of the episode, which is just him getting off the school bus.
17 years old, still riding the school bus.
Still riding the school bus.
I guess they took his car. They took his Mustang.
I'm thinking they took his Mustang.
Was it a Charger?
No, it was a Charger. Those got blown up. Then he had the other car.
All right.
But either way, He's got no wheels, and it was just a really sad. Now, what I found here that was really irked me was they've got like such a good actor in RG Mitt.
Yeah, I mean,
RG Mitty. And they like
No lines.
They didn't give him any lines. They weren't really utilizing that.
He just somberly walks into the house.
And he's had to overcome a lot to get where he is. And a lot. Like his
condition.
He's got his condition. The fact that he's a bad actor. Oh wait. So it was a fitting end for Walter Jr. He says nothing.
I actually thought this was the most powerful Walter Jr. episode.
I think it was too.
Because he didn't even need to say anything.
He
just walked right in there. He was just like,
he conveyed the condition of his life.
I used to live in a mid-level house in the suburbs, and now I live in an apartment, and I'm really sad because they killed Uncle Hank.
That's a very sad thing, and he's going to be getting over that for a long time.
And also he's getting secondhand smoke lung cancer from his mom.
Oh, because she is smoking a lot.
Because that's what you do when your life goes to shit. You start smoking.
Like, over repeatedly.
Just one after smoke. Another. You'll be fine.
Now, one thing I was wondering about him was, and this is where my head went. I went, all right, so say he gets the money. He's probably going to have, like, a drug problem, right?
I think he already has a drug problem. He's on a lot of meds for his multiple sclerosis.
That's not a problem, though. That's life.
Well, you know, Brett Favre got injured, and he took meds, and he got addicted to them.
Oh, that's true.
And he wasn't even as in bad shape as Walter Jr., so.
No, he's in much bad shape. Much worse shape. So that's what does he take the money, do you think?
Let me put it this way. You turn 18 years old. Tale's old as time, right? Your dad is dead.
Your dad's old partner's come.
He's a hated national figure. Killed your uncle. Ruined your mom's life. Meth dealer. And then all of a sudden, boom, you end up with $9 million inheritance. Would you take it?
I would, but he's a sharp cookie, and I think he might have put two and two together and be like, this is almost $11 million. That's how much my dad had. And then he would just, nope. Get that money out of my face. I don't need that drug money.
Well, in Walter Jr.'s defense,
except I need some drug money.
In Walter Jr.'s defense, he's really stupid. And Elliot and Gretchen have some motivation here because if he doesn't get the money, they're gonna get killed.
They're gonna get killed by bad guys.
So they have to come up with some really good reasons to make him accept the money. Also, it's been a while.
Yeah, he's probably gonna take the money.
It's been like a year. It's been like 10 months. You know. You kind of got over the whole...
Well, that just happened with the phone call thing.
Yeah.
That just happened.
That was like, whatever, very recent, but you get over that stuff.
Now, the whole culmination of the episode, obviously, is ending on this whole going to meet Uncle Jack. That's where we're heading. We know we're heading there. We know Jesse's in. Back to Jesse. Early in the episode, we show him making his box that he made of woodworking that he, like, took the best care of, even though he was a horrible student that he took pride in, like, the only thing he took pride in.
He had talent.
He was a box maker, and he
wasn't a box maker. Don't condescend to Jesse. I mean, he had a teacher who, you know, got to him with one comment, is that the best you can do? And Jesse knew it wasn't. You know why? Because Jesse was paying attention.
It's a pride thing.
He was paying attention. Jesse has talent. And he's like, you know what? That's not the best I can do. And I thought it was a beautiful scene.
It was a beautiful scene because then they cut right to him, like when he got something caught, like his jacket caught. And then
reminded him of the box.
It was the chain getting caught of him being enslaved. And it almost looked like he was like catatonic, like actually just going through the motions of just like looking at the machines and just like I haven't felt that bad for a character. Except for there.
Just a quick fast forward. That was another great epilogue opportunity to have, like, show who had the box and, like, what was being used for.
There's a lot of things. We'll get to the epilogue opportunities in a little bit. So Walt okay, first Walt gets out the machine gun, or he starts messing around things and doing science stuff like he always – that Walt, he's always doing things.
He's like MacGyver.
He's always being MacGyver. And I had no idea what he was doing. I thought he was
like – First of all, the show could not have taken place anywhere other than New Mexico.
Yeah.
Because apparently you can just drive a couple minutes and there's nobody ever around.
Yes.
We live in Rhode Island. You can't go anywhere without there being people around.
Well, we're also a very densely populated state.
Second most densely populated.
East Coast. It's bad. It's a little crowded around here.
I think and I should go to New Mexico and just, like, roll around the desert for a while.
Okay, so, get the barrels. First you get the barrels.
Then you get the money. Then you get the meth.
Then you get the money. Then you get the meth. Then you enslave New Hampshire. Then, once you go to New Mexico, we roll around for a while, and then we fill in the blanks.
I'm down.
I like this. All right, it's working out. That's the final scene, 20 minutes, 15 minutes?
The denouement.
Yes.
It's a French word.
It is a French word. You know what it means?
It means conclusion.
Oh. Look at you. You brushed up on your French.
Hey, man.
I like that. He shows up in an old car, whatever car that was that he had there.
Was it an El Camino?
El Camino, I think he said. And then Kenny, creepy Nazi guy.
I kind of like
Kenny. Escorts him in. Yeah, I kind of liked him. He was really slacking. I feel like...
He's like... Jack is evil, but Kenny is just kind of like loyal to Jack.
Yeah, he was also
just kind of doing what he's doing, you know?
That guy would totally rape chicks, that guy.
Oh, he has raped chicks.
He's probably raped several.
But I still respect him.
But so they go to the clubhouse. He tells them, "Oh yeah, like and then, this is where like you're like, why didn't they see this coming?" They tell him to park it over here. Walt backs it in, or parks it a totally different way. They get out. They take all his shit that he's got on him, his wallet and his keys, which are important because this car has a key fob.
Fob.
That was my Rhode Island accent, buddy. We add R's.
No, you skip R's. You don't add R's.
No, Rhode Islanders, we add R's to things that don't need R's, and you drop R's from the end of words when you...
Again...
Look, take some pride in your accents.
Again, Bryan Cranston for the Emmy nod, rolling up on a compound full of murderers, totally not even nervous, because he doesn't care.
Because he was acting. But... Walter
that's
White. Right.
That's what you get an Emmy
Walter
for.
Walter White rolling up.
That's
to
what you get an Emmy
show.
For, Josh. You get an Emmy for acting, asshole. That's what my point is. Jesus Christ. They don't give Walter White an Emmy. They give Bryan Cranston an Emmy.
You said not even nervous.
He was portraying a man who wasn't nervous.
Which I can do right now.
You could not do that.
I cannot portray a not nervous person right now?
No. I'm not taking
away from Bryan Cranston's acting abilities. He could deserve an Emmy for this entire episode, for this episode completely. If they submit this, he'd win for this episode. What I'm saying is this moment here.
He was portraying a man who should be nervous but wasn't because he knew what he was doing even though there was a risk of what he was doing.
Okay.
And he did it well.
He did do it well.
Carry on, jerk.
He did do it well. So he goes in and it all goes to shit, obviously. They don't want to talk to him. They just basically tell him, screw you. Basically saying we're going to kill you.
But he knew that.
He knew that.
He just wasn't counting on him taking his keys and his wallet.
Yeah, that he didn't realize. And that became that weird struggle that Walter has, like that we've seen many times before, where he's trying to get that thing that's the key to the whole plan.
It was the plan within the plan.
It's the plan within
like,
the plan.
He had the plan, and then something went wrong, and then he immediately came up with a new plan. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Walter, we're going to kill you. So, like, oh, well, what if he hadn't got Badger in Skinny Pete specifically to help him with the Gresham plan, then he never would have known that the blue meth was still around, and he never would have known that Jesse was still alive, and he never would have known that he could use that against Jack
and
Todd.
Yeah, because he put that together. He realized that that's who was cooking the meth because of the purity level. They said it was better than ever, which, I mean... How can it be better than Heisenberg levels? I'll never know.
Well, see that's another thing. I feel like
he wanted the meth.
I feel like I've gone along with Walt so far in this ride that I'm actually with him on his Heisenberg chemistry talents.
Yes,
because when he tells Lydia, oh, it was 92%, and she's like, that's Heisenberg level. No, that wasn't Heisenberg level. 96% was Gale level. Heisenberg level is 99%.
Well, that was another part of this when he asked about, like, the meth, and then he found out that it was Jesse, and he got all pissed, or when he put it together that it was Jesse. It seemed like to him, I'm like, oh, that's it. He also wants to make sure that this meth dies with him as well. That nobody's going to make Blue Sky anymore. Like, he's at that point.
Yes, but also when he got mad about Jesse ratting on him, he thought that they would kill him or maybe beat him up.
Then he found out he was alive. So that is like they're partnering. He got mad about that.
He realized that they have imprisoned him.
I don't think he realized that.
No, I think he did.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'm going to give you my take on that as soon as we get there. Walt's in the clubhouse, as they call it. He stalls for time when they're saying we're going to kill him by essentially saying, oh, yeah, Jesse's partnering with you. You lied to me. You said you were going to kill him.
You owed me.
Jack is just the worst person here but I'm glad that this happens, is that he has no honor. It's very clear that he has no honor. He'll just kill anyone or do anything that he wants.
But he's insulted. That Walt assumes that he has not fulfilled his duty to kill Jesse and that he's partnered with him.
Yeah. So he's so insulted that he goes and sends for Jesse, who walks in looking like the most pathetic, scared person I've ever seen. Like, I've seen a lot of horror movies where people have been tortured, like, extensively, to the point where, like, you know, you feel very uncomfortable. Like, you would die.
Yeah,
I feel like I could die. Like, the levels, I don't like to see people tortured, but it's so horrific that that's some of the only things that I could be scared by now.
Jesse was, like, a couple weeks away from being the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. He was just doing whatever the fuck they were going to tell him, you know, at this. Don't kill Brock.
His hair was terrible.
Don't kill Brock, yes.
Aaron Paul had this amazing hair all first five seasons, and now his hair is all brushed over.
But not a part of that beard was out of place, though.
That was a good beard. They gave him a trimmer.
Yeah, they gave him a trimmer. They trimmed. I bet you Todd trimmed that beard.
Personally.
Lydia's going to like these whiskers. You did really good today.
I'm going to give you some Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
Shoot.
So he's stalling for time and they go get Jesse, he's able to get the keys. He's able to grab it. A couple of close calls with Jack turning around. Jack shows Jesse, he's like, does this look like I'm partnering with him?
This is the only funny Jack moment of the series. It's like, hey, here's my partner.
Here's my partner.
50-50 partner. Hey, partner. How you doing, partner? That actually made me kind of chuckle.
Yeah. No, it was very... I found it...
Jack was so, like,
that character
offended.
Saying all that, I found it to be very Tarantino-esque.
Yeah,
like,
he was so offended that
he would write.
I'm a psychopath. I'm torturing this guy.
Yeah.
Before I kill you and you'll be dead anyway, let me just tell you that this is what's happening.
Yeah, he made it a point to say, I could be killing you right now, but I'm not putting a bullet in your head so I can make this point.
Yeah, like, he needs the peace of mind of the guy he's about to kill.
I feel a part of me is, I feel like that's something you would do. It's definitely something I would do. I'd be like, oh yeah?
I see a lot of Jack in me, yes.
Yeah. But that ends up being Jack's downfall, that Walter. And Walter knew that it would happen. I didn't think he was like, he's made a lot of mistakes assuming what people would do, but a lot of times he's assumed that what they would do right. Like, the Gus thing, he was not able to get up. But, obviously, Jack is not the same. He figured out Lydia's pattern and took advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And then, also, with Jack here, he knew that that's what Jack was going to do. That he would save him enough to go get Jesse. Now, here's where we differ, I think, here. I think that his plan was to get Jesse and bring him into the room so Jesse would also be killed. I think it was then seeing that Jesse was imprisoned and wasn't actually his partner that's when he made that last minute decision to jump on him, which didn't seem out of the ordinary because he'd already jumped him prior. But they didn't see that, actually, now that I think about it. They never saw the jumping of that was with Hank. But I think that was how it happened. So in case you didn't see the episode here. He hits the button, and the trunk pops open, and he starts spraying the room with the machine gun. Like, just back and forth. The machine that he had built made it go back and forth I don't even think he had built it.
It was a pendulum.
Yeah, it was a pendulum. So I made it go and
a turret.
See, if we were in the army,
it was an automatic turret.
Yeah.
So the gun was on like a hinge, and it was robotically
moving side to side, spraying the entire area.
And we're talking about like a badass gun, like a stinking.
Don't even try to pretend like you know what type of gun that is.
Like a gun that could take out a...
I believe they said it was an M60. It's a machine gun.
Right, but not just for people, for like
No, it's vehicles. A mounted machine gun. It's a mounted machine gun.
It's powerful enough to take out a vehicle.
Yes. Yes. So they spray the room. Everybody gets shot, but him and Jesse, he had dove on Jesse.
And here's the great thing about that scene where he sees Jesse, dives on him, takes him to the ground. And this is basically the number one theme of the entire show, which is the decisions that Walter has made.
Yeah.
So every decision he's made has just had an effect on every character, mostly bad. But he has just like, there's this a window of 30 seconds from when he's about to get taken out and shot to Jesse coming in to, okay, all I have to do now is tackle Jesse to the ground, press the button, have the gun go off. And it just changes. It just like changes the entire. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The whole free will versus determinism, which is just the number one theme of Vince Gilligan's. It's what happens when you make a choice like this or that. Walt didn't have to come back, and Jesse would just rot in the meth lab and die. And Todd and Lydia and Jack would go on doing whatever, and Skyler would probably go to jail eventually. But he just, I would decide to do this and this and this, and now this is happening. You know, Jack's guys are all just being wiped out.
They're all being wiped out, and there was like some gross sounds, like of just like those,
like wet, moist,
the wet, like bubble, like gurgling sounds, yeah, like just, you know, which I love. In when you're dealing with violence, like I'm not a violent person. I'd say that I get angry, but I'm definitely not a violent person, and I'm not even a person that would probably pick up a gun and you know, like ever. I would never like do. I don't fight people. However. When you're dealing with like super violent situations and there is gunplay, there needs to be certain things. Gurgling.
If you go past a certain point, then it makes it like fiction, like entertainment.
It makes it like an action series.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when Tarantino does it okay, Scorsese does it great. When Scorsese's guys get shot, like if someone gets shot in the head, there's that awesome blood spray, like that just like mist of blood that goes from behind that, you know, they say is like what actually happens. But then you also get that when people are shot anywhere near the throat, you get those sounds of them trying to breathe and their lungs filling.
And there was
blood.
Also,
and that was here. It was so good. All of that.
And there was also the guy on the chair.
Yeah. And that kept going.
And it was, like, motorized. It was, like, going up and back. So it was that plus the gurgling. That was so good. It made some great sounds.
It was great aftermath. Just that, the ambient noise in the scene. No music. So they get up, Jesse and Walt. And
this is a great. As soon as the shooting is done.
They pop up.
They pop up, but Walter is just standing up. Todd runs to the window, looks outside like a little kid. Like, oh my God, Mr. White!
Like, amazed that he did this awesome, like.
He's kind of impressed.
He's impressed.
He doesn't even care that Uncle Jack and all of his men are dead. No. He's just, oh my God, Mr. White! And then there's Jesse.
And then Jesse comes
straight up. Coup de grace.
I'm glad they gave that to him.
Another
I'm glad
French
they.
Term.
You
it's a French lesson for you, Place of Nation.
I'm going to buy you some pommes frites and some.
And a rouge burger.
And a rouge burger.
Le Philadelphia.
And Le Philadelphia. And we're gonna live this out here. This French Jeff.
So Jesse gets to just tear the stinking.
I guess that was weird to shoot because they wanted it to be like really forceful and look good, but it was like, don't hurt Jesse Plemons, who plays Todd. That got really confusing. Even on Breaking Bad, Aaron Paul said Jesse, but he's like, Jesse Plemons.
Don't hurt Jesse.
Not my character.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
No, it was. I'm so glad they gave that to him, though, that Jesse got to get revenge on someone that caught that finally caused all the that caused like that much hurt for him with Andrea, because that's got to be when it, he's had so many bad things to happen to him, but that one moment with the Andrea thing, probably the worst.
Yeah, so Jesse is brutally and grotesquely murdering Todd, but the best part about that scene is Walter just standing there looking at him.
Because he knows, like, this is about tying up loose ends, and fucking Todd deserves
he
to
doesn't
die.
Even, he's like, not even like, yep, okay, that's happening over there. Jesse's doing that.
He was waiting. And, he was waiting for Jesse to be done.
And, oh, Jack's moving. And then we get another, you know, homage to the fans. Okay, for some reason, the only person who wasn't just ripped in half by this gun is Jack. And Walt gets to have avenge Hank with the whole
and himself. It wasn't just event. It wasn't. I felt like what was happening in this entire episode. We so much has been on revenge, but here it wasn't about revenge. It was about justice. And like, even though nobody was apprehended or went to jail or anything, there was the justice that actually happened. That's what this is about. I don't think it wasn't just for Hank either. It was for himself. It was like, you double crossed me. You took my money. You killed Hank when I tried to call it off. You caused my like that. Doing all of that is what led to like if they just walked out of that desert, okay? If they had, like, you know, just let them leave from the desert. The money would have still been, you know, but he gave them the money to save Hank. But everything would have been different. There wouldn't have been so much despair for his family.
He would have been in jail.
Yeah, but he was going to die anyway. Because
I also disagree.
He was shot.
I also disagree with you about the Jesse thing. I think as soon as Skinny Pete and Badger said that the meth was at the level it was,
he wanted to kill him.
No, I'm saying I disagree with you. You already said that.
I know, but
I'm saying that Walt understood that the only reason Jesse would be cooking is if he was being kept alive and tortured and imprisoned, and that's not what he wanted. Especially since he had a year to think about it in the mountains of New Hampshire with a bunch of idiot slaves. Just
okay. Well, the only thing that works out
he was
there.
Mad. He had a fiery moment. Hank just got assassinated. Jesse had just ratted him out. He just wanted him dead. And then they said, let's take him back and find out what he knows about the tape. And Walt said, okay, because there was still a chance that he would get away. But then after, he's like, oh my God, Jesse's still alive after all this time? Like, that's messed up. That's got to be Jack's doing. He hated Jack a lot
right.
more than Jesse at that point.
You're right. Well, I don't know if you're right, but I'll accept.
I'm pretty much right, though.
I'll accept that that is a possible thing. But it doesn't matter. Because what we get here is, Jack tries to bargain with his life, and he shoots him. Todd's been killed. Lydia calls.
Lydia calls
Todd's phone. And you get that weird ringtone. It's like, Lydia, Lydia.
And after all this time, we finally get to see someone die from the rice.
Yeah. Did you see
he never got to put it in Tuco's taco.
Did you see it coming, though? Like, did you?
Well, when they close up the
one stevia packet?
Yeah. That was – but – as far as the episode before, I still wasn't sure.
I meant within this episode, did you catch it?
Yeah.
Done? Okay.
Like, as soon as you left, I'm like, Walt knows that Lydia and Todd aren't
so he tells her, which part of me is like, I didn't need to see. I didn't need to see Lydia find out. It was just enough to know that Lydia was going to die.
Well, he feels upset because he knows that she's going to go after Skylar.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you friggin' had Todd break into my house. You know what? Now I'm going to let you suffer, not just thinking you have the flu.
But what if they had just, like, could she go to the hospital at that point?
Well, he's Walter White, so he probably knows that it's too late.
Like, oh, it's too late now. How many hours?
His last words on this earth, goodbye, Lydia, throws the phone. Doesn't even need to hang it up. Imagine being at that point.
No.
You're shot in the belly, and you've just, like, killed everyone you want to kill. You just don't even need to hang up the phone. You just throw it. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I fantasize about throwing my phone every day. but what we've not talked about is, I guess, the crucial moment of the entire series, which is Walter and Jesse staring each other down.
Yeah, so Jesse has just
after they have
strangled
both killed
Todd,
the people that they needed to kill.
Walter has just killed Jack. They look at each other. Walter, it looks like he's going to point the gun at Jesse, but he doesn't. He drops it, slides it over to him, and then you can see all the hate cut. Aaron Paul, just so good. Oh my god.
So good.
He's just perfect.
Yeah.
This is a perfect character, a perfect role. Like, don't even nominate anybody next year for the Emmy. Just to give it to him now. Anyway, so he picks up the gun. All the hate for Walter comes back, points it at him. But then all the pain and the agony and the sadness and the, I can't believe all my captors are dead now. And I can't believe, like, you want me to kill you. I'm not going to do what you want anymore. Oh, my God. It was great. I was like, ah. I thought he was going to do it. Walter, then he
said, no, he's like, tell me you need this. Tell me you need this. Tell me you need this. Like, which is what he had repeated in the desert to him over and over about going away, you know, like going with the cleaner guy, the vacuum salesman guy. And then he says, no, I won't do it. Do it yourself. Do it. But Walt kept saying, do it, right?
Yeah.
He kept saying, do it.
He said, I want this. Do it.
How do you think Nike feels about that?
Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it. By do it, we mean shoot your friends that have caused you much anguish.
Or who authorized your death.
Who authorized your death.
I mean, but hey, it's like the Stockholm Syndrome. Walter just set him free, so it's kind of like he's forgetting about that for a minute, you know?
Yeah, and then he walks away, and that's it. That's it for Jesse. He runs away, he gets in the car, and then he just bust through that goes so drives really fast because he's got a need for speed, and he crashes through the gate and has the most maniacal laughing face.
Probably the greatest last scene of a character ever. Just Jesse, just beaten, bruised, battered, almost dead, left for dead, and just laughing, just with total joy at the fact that he has his whole life ahead of him. He's free from everything. He's free from the meth business, Jack, Todd, Mr. White, everything. Just laughing.
So do you think that guy, you think he stays away from meth after this?
No, he's totally going to get hooked again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because now he's sad. Now he's sad. So what do you do?
I mean, he's not going to get hired anywhere. Everybody knows who he is. Everyone knows who Jesse Pinkman is. He's going to have to start cooking meth again.
Well,
Breaking Bad 2. Jesse as Heisenberg.
That's a great title. You should really pitch that.
Well, we'll see how Better Call Saul works out.
I kid. Yeah, so that was... And then Walter goes, and he goes and inspects the lab that Jesse built based on his own... Their own plans for a lab, essentially.
And he
looks appreciative at it all. Like, he's, like, admiring the handiwork. And then
but
he's
also, it's nostalgia, too.
It's nostalgia.
He's touching the steel.
Because he's dying.
He's seeing, he's just, this is what he liked to do. Like he told Skylar,
yeah.
I did it for me. I liked doing it. You know, I was good at it. I was alive. And they play that great song.
Baby Blue.
Baby Blue.
By Badfinger. And, yeah.
Then he dies because he has a bullet in his
And then
belly.
He dies because he has a bullet. But he beats cancer.
He beat that cancer.
So if someone ever says, someone ever stops watching Breaking Bad, like, in the first season, be like, does he beat cancer? Yeah. Definitely does.
Totally beat it.
Now,
I just thought that there would be a big, like, blowout budget media scene with him in jail and on trial and stuff. And
I'm happy with not having that. There was also no, in the middle of it, the Need for Speed promo, like, ran. Did you get that feeling that they're trying to get us to completely link all of our feelings and thoughts and everything we know about Aaron Paul as Jesse Pinkman over to this character of Need for Speed? Like, did you watch the commercial?
No.
I wish you had watched it because it was like, they said stuff like, they took everything from me, and now I've gotta take it back. Like, it was Jesse's character. Like, or at least that's how they were cutting this promo, and because we were watching Breaking Bad to be like, oh, look at him there. It's like he's being, it was really irritating. So the joke that I saw last night a couple times was after he drove through that gate, like, and now he's driving right onto the set of Need for Speed. It was just too perfect to have it go from that.
This week on Need for Speed, Aaron Paul.
Well, that's a movie.
El Camino.
It's a movie based on a video game, because I don't even get me started on any of that. Well, Jeff, we're going to go over, so we just have to accept that. Sorry, Place to Be Nation.
Keep listening. You have nothing better to do.
Epilogue. We're not done yet. Epilogue. Is there anything that you think that we should have gotten to find out?
Well, like I said, I wanted to see Walter Jr. like a year later. I wanted to see a funny scene of Saul like in a Cinnabon, because he had that scene when he was being when he got rescued by the vacuum salesman. And he's like, "I'll be lucky if I'm the manager of a Cinnabon this year." To see Saul with like a hat on, running a store. Like, telling kids, like, what to do, and, like, hey, they're doing his old Saul.
But being a Saul, yeah, that would be good.
And also, what happened to Huel?
That's the biggest one for me, and it seems like the world / the internet, which is the world.
Because Hank died, like, 8 months ago.
And that was the only
guy. And they said, wait here.
Yeah.
So he must have left the room, right?
Well, he needed to eat. He's a big man.
But he also had an FBI guy watching him. So wouldn't that FBI guy have known where Hank was? There's kind of like something they needed to sew up there.
Yeah,
If they also had shown Huel, like, I wanted a scene with Saul at the Cinnabon, and I wanted a scene with Huel, like, eating, like, Chex or something like that. You know, like, being someone smuggling Huel in food or something like that. That would have been funny.
That would have been good.
But they ended on a very serious note, and that's fine.
Yeah, that was basically the only thing that I wanted to know what happened to Saul. And I, from them saying that it's probably going to be – that's going to be a prequel, the Better Call Saul, we're not going to find out what happened to him. We're just going to find out what happened to him before.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sad that we'll never know.
But if Mike Ehrmantraut's in it, I'm watching it. I'm sorry.
Better Call. I'll watch that show.
I love Bob Odenkirk.
I'll probably be in it for at least like three episodes of just not even questioning it, just watching it and then base it from there.
No, you gotta give five or six. I gave Mad Men 4 episodes and that show sucks.
That show sucks?
It's terrible.
Oh, okay. Well, just illustrate my points.
It's the most boring show of all time. Hey there, sister. Why don't you hike that skirt up a little
far? Well, you actually got to get further than where you've told me where you're at, and you just said it right now, actually.
Let me guess what happens. Ads about more products that we already know existed.
Yeah, but it's about Don Draper. It's about Don Draper.
Oh, Don Draper, poor guy. He's married, but he's not really in love, and he has a double life, and blah, blah, blah. Big deal.
Spoiler alert. Now, they tell you very quickly on that show.
It's like the first episode, yeah. They
I don't even know where to go from there. Like, it just blows my mind because I think that show.
All right, I also wanted to see Skylar a year or two later.
Yeah,
I wanted to see, is she happy? Is she still chain smoking? What about Marie? Is Marie still going on real estate open houses stealing spoons? I want to see Holly at the age of 5. Like, is she being bullied? Because bullying is a very big problem. Female-on-female bullying. I don't know if you knew that, Josh.
Well, I did know that, because what I learned yesterday was that Aaron Paul's wife actually
works... Who's smoking hot, by the way.
Smoking hot. But, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything else.
Because he's pretty attractive.
He's pretty attractive, and he's a talented actor.
He's one of those guys that makes me angry about how good-looking he is.
Yeah, it's like, well, there's that. It's like, oh, you can rock a beard and look good. You can be clean-shaven and look good. They put you in fucking the worst clothes in the world, looking like you came from Eblins. Guys have Eblins where you are.
You can get a crew cut and do a black-and-white commercial with Diddy and drink vodka, and all of a sudden, like...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It just makes me want to be, like,
so
Diddy's
weird.
Friend.
Dennis, who else is in that?
I don't know. I just remember Aaron Paul and Diddy.
No, there was a lot. There's someone else. There's a guy from Goodfellas that says, go get your fucking shine box.
But Dennis Farina?
Is that Dennis Farina?
Is he dead now?
Is that Dennis Farina? Is that Dennis Farina? Dennis Farina's a guy from Snatch.
Yes, he is the guy from Snatch, but he's also
the guy from
Midnight Run.
But he's not the guy from Good.
I don't know who says go get your shiny
anyway, that guy is also in that, which it makes it the weirdest commercial ever, because it's like, how do these collection of dudes get together? But either way, so his wife runs a charity, and that's I found that to be really weird. So they were raising money during their little finale party that they were doing yesterday in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
They want to raise as much money as possible to dedicate to the causes that most need attention in this world.
And one of them, well, it's funny because I saw that and I went, well, that is a major problem facing the every generation of women coming after is women, girls are getting worse and worse with the bullying, and it's obviously because the internet has just made it worse, and they can just call, you know, make, I'm assuming they make memes of them, like, sluts.
Girls are bullying.
I'm gonna make the meanest meme.
Girls are bullying other girls.
Look at that. Angry Cat, he does not approve of you.
You know what? That's not the kind of society we're trying to live in.
No.
We're not trying to live in a society where a girl can't go to school without other girls being mean to her.
But that's why she's trying to fix it. But it does beg the question, I mean, telling women not to be bitches, is that really like
something
we should be spending massive money on?
Apparently. Aaron Paul is sick and tired of bitches being...
Well, his wife is. And from what I've learned from... I would say show Curb Your Enthusiasm. Celebrity wives, they just try to run a lot of charities because they try to feel good about themselves, and also that way they get to know other women.
All right, I officially feel bad for Aaron Paul. Even though he's really good looking, his wife is obviously an idiot.
Yeah.
Because she watched one, like, News Channel 10 episode where they had a video of a girl getting bullied, and she cried and cried and cried.
And then she's like, that girl killed herself.
You know what? Why don't you just... take all the money that you can possibly raise or earn or whatever and dedicate it to an actual cause like, you know, cancer or...
Oh, that would be a good little time.
Poverty or, you know, African...
People are already doing those,
genocide.
Man. People are doing those, but nobody's doing bullying.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. A charity for women being mean to women. I mean, give me a fucking break.
I know. I mean, it is a problem. I'm not belittling that... the idea that we should be stopped.
How about
bullying.
Stand up for yourself? How about teach the girls how to fight? How about say, if a girl's bullying you, punch her in the mouth? It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, that's what we teach boys, which is funny. But we don't teach girls that. I don't know. Well,
to raise money for a cause.
To quote Elaine, well, what did you guys do? Well, we teased them until they developed an eating disorder. I guess that's the way women have always been.
Yeah. Like, come on. It's survival of the fittest, man.
Ladies
you
be bullying.
You don't.
Bitches be bullying. Well, that's pretty much, I guess that takes care of a couple of notes based on last night's episode. It was actually the series record for viewers, 10.3 million during the 9 p.m. airing. Talking Bad had 4.4 million, which is also a record for that, obviously. And they also had more...
4.4 million people watched a show about... talking about a show.
A peak of 22,373 tweets per minute as the final episode began in the East.
Wow.
Yeah. And Bryan Cranston had a tweet that said, thanks for sharing this ride with me. This is it. 51,000 retweets.
Can I say my least favorite metaphor for an experience in one's life is a ride?
How come?
Because, like, you can't say thanks for sharing this... anything, like, this amazing experience, this life-changing part of the development, or it's not a ride. Like, why does doing something like being on a show and people watching it have to be linked to going to Six Flags? Thanks for sharing this ride. It's been such a ride.
I don't know if
it's been such a great ride.
No, I think you're misinterpreting.
Oh, man, this has been the ride of a lifetime.
Interpreting what they mean when they say ride. They're not talking about amusement park rides. They're talking about the journey.
Then say journey. A
it's
ride is a ride.
Riding in the car. No, riding in your car. That's what people used to do. They used
been
to
a great,
ride. Motorcycle riders
get
ride.
Get in the car. Let's go for a ride. This has been a great ride. Josh, remember that time that we drove to Denny's? That was the best ride of my life.
Oh, one of those
thank you for
was.
Going to. Thank you for going on that ride with me. That was such a great ride. God, it's just like, I want to love Bryan Cranston, but then they say stupid shit like that, and it's like... they're idiots. They're all idiots. Aaron Paul is married to a woman who's raising money so that girls stop bullying other girls. Are you serious?
One point. raised, I forgot, like $1.something million for that charity.
$1.something million.
But that's going to make it so that she can travel and do this for free.
How about you raise money for me and Josh so that we can actually do something worthwhile?
Here's a project, Jeff.
How about that?
Let's look into the way that the... Whatever the name
is. I wish I had never even started watching Breaking Bad because I hate Aaron Paul.
Let's look into the way that the Kind campaign pays their top people. I'd like to know that.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. That's our next project. That's add that to the list.
Kind campaign, you're on our list, man. You're on our list. We're taking you down. All that funding you just got from this Breaking Bad ride that you've been on, we're going to just reverse it. Yeah. We're going to take all the funds away from you. Actually, we're going to have a civil action lawsuit for all the female victims of bullies over the years.
Class action or civil
class action suit? Class action civil suit is what I meant. You know what I meant.
For female victims of bullies?
Yeah, because you're giving money to people that don't deserve it. You're giving money to all these rich white girls who, like, someone stole their skis or something.
Well, they're not giving money to them. They're going and teaching them the lesson of... They're showing the mean girls.
Okay, fine,
doing.
Fine.
They're
so showing the mean girls. So you and I can go to these... We can go to these seminars and we can observe and we can point out how, like, terribly they're failing. How about that?
I agree. I don't mind doing that.
And then maybe someday somebody can give us $1.5 million to do something stupid and pointless.
One can hope. One can only hope. Well, I guess that says it for Breaking Bad, which is really sad because this has been a fun ride for doing this, talking about the show, which we've done for quite some time, but that was to be expected because it was the fucking finale.
Well, we wanted to do a bunch of lists and favorites and least favorites and stuff, but maybe we can do like a pre or post type thing.
Well, I mean, there's going to be time for doing that.
Because we're kind of running over now. We should probably wrap this up, but...
Yeah, it's sad.
Richard
and
the Mailman.
I don't want to go. It's something I really...
Josh, you seem like in deep thought over there. What are you doing?
I don't know, man. I it's just...
He's teeing something up.
No, I'm not. I'm just checking something. But, well, the key is that we could do that next week, Jeff.
All right.
That's the whole point. We don't need to do our list seeing where it fits. We can do that next week because we now don't have to just talk about Breaking Bad on a weekly basis.
Ladies and gentlemen, we... Richard the Mailman are free from this Breaking Bad prison. It has been a great 9 weeks, but goddamn, the show is over. Thank God. We can talk about whatever the hell we want. We can talk about Real Housewives of Miami if we want.
Oh,
we can talk about,
that's not.
We can talk about anything. The world, we can talk about books written in Netherlands in the 1870s.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is it's basically we're going to change the format. Well, not really change the format at all.
We can do like a Rachel Ray type thing where they cook a meal.
Well, I don't see us
using
doing
only four
that.
Ingredients.
No, she doesn't. No, that's not her thing.
Well, whatever.
She does it in 30 minutes or less.
We can have guests on. We can do like chops.
30 minutes or less if you don't include the prep time.
Hey,
I know what you're doing. Some of that stuff's already chopped.
She's got like 40 bowls out there. How long did that
plus
take?
Plus, you know you always forget something and you have to rush to the store.
She sucks.
But the point is that we're going to be... basically doing what we've been doing, which is just talking to each other, basically talking about what we hate and what we don't hate, which there's a lot of stuff that we like and hate.
Actually, there's some stuff that Josh doesn't hate. I pretty much hate everything, and that's
you prove me wrong there, buddy. Jim Parsons and Britney Spears.
Anybody
no hatred
wants...
for those two juggernauts of
next week,
cultural
next week
integrity.
We're going to start a contest, and we're going to get some good prizes and things going, and the winner is going to win a ticket to Las Vegas to see Britney Spears with yours truly, the Mailman. It's going to be the greatest time ever, and Josh is going to be home doing something stupid like working.
Contest will not be honored.
See if I wish anybody else.
Yeah, so...
Justin Rosero provide all travel arrangements.
Oh, that'd be great. Imagine if he got caught up in having to pay for, like... we should run this by him. Nah. He's not listening anymore.
Hey, Justin. How do you feel about JetBlue? Hey, good things.
So, I guess this is it. I guess this is it for episode 9. I guess this is the end.
This is the end of one legendary experience and the beginning of another.
Yeah. So come back with me here next week. We'll talk about random stuff.
Well, it won't be random. We'll have some kind of plan, but at this moment, it's undetermined.
I've got some ideas.
You could say it that way.
That's true. Well, you've also promised everyone that you would have the top 10. You promised them last week and many weeks before that we'd have a top 10 list.
Make sure that if you have anything that you want Richard and the Mailman to talk about, that you hit us up at Place of a Nation. My Twitter handle is at Mashad Douche, MashadouCHE. And your Twitter handle is?
At Joshua Richer.
Very easy to remember.
Because I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah, first name, last name. Very classy.
Well, I figure it was available. I might as well take it.
There's nothing that we won't...
I stake claims in usernames.
There's nothing that we won't deconstruct. And by deconstruct, I mean make fun of and destroy.
So it's been real, and we hope to see all of you here next week. We know we will. And if not, thanks for listening. But you'll be here next week.
Goodbye, Walter White. Goodbye, Breaking Bad. Thank you for an amazing ride.
I like what you did there.
Thank you for that.
You're going to make it to Lincoln thing.